So, you ready? We began last week with the pasuk we say before we begin Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem Sifal Sai Tiftach, Ufi Yagiti L'Asecha, which means, Hashem, open my mouth, and open my lips, and my mouth will relate your praises. So, the source of saying this pasuk is the Gemara Mesechtes Brachos, Davdal Adamet Beis. The Gemara says that a person is obligated to be soimech geula letfila. A person should mention geula, which is the bracha of Gal Yisrael, right before we begin Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara asks Akasha, how can you say that we need to, that tefillah needs to begin immediately after Gal Yisrael? Rabbi Yochanan says that before a person says Shemoneh Esrei, a person needs to say Hashem Sifal Sai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti L'Asecha. Why isn't that considered a hefsik? Why isn't that considered an interruption between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei? We know that we're not even to answer Amen after Gal Yisrael. That's even one word of a hefsik, word that were Amen, which many poskim hold is not a hefsik. But we're machmer not even to answer Amen after Gal Yisrael. That's why we conclude together with the Chazan, or with the Chazan just says it quietly, so we shouldn't have to answer Amen. So there can't be any hefsik between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. So how can we say, ask the Gemara, how can we say Hashem Sfas Tiftach? The Gemara answers, Kima Detkin Rabbanon. Since the Rabbanon were Mesakin, that we need to say Hashem Sfas Tiftach, Kitfila Arich Tadamia. It's like part of the davening, it's like part of Shemoneh Esrei. So yes, Shemoneh Esrei does begin right after Gal Yisrael. How does Shemoneh Esrei begin? With the words Hashem Sfas Tiftach. We thought Shemoneh Esrei begins with Baruch Atah Hashem. No, that's not where Shemoneh Esrei begins. Shemoneh Esrei begins with Hashem Sfas Tiftach. So the Bis Yosef, and Simen Kuf Yud Aleph, the Bis Yosef brings the Rabbeinu Yoina, who asks, why was Rabbi Yochanan Masakin to say Hashem Sfas Tiftach? Why is it necessary to say this before Shemoneh Esrei? And Rabbeinu Yoina says, Hafla Digvart, he says that if you look into Tehillim, where this pasuk is written, the pasuk says like this. It's in Kapitel Nun Aleph. That is the kapitel that David HaMelech says after the chait with Bathsheba. So after the chait with Bathsheba, David HaMelech says this whole kapitel Nun Aleph. In that kapitel, he says, Hashem Sfas I Tiftach Ufi Yagiti L'Asecha. Hashem, open my lips and my mouth will relate your praises. Kiloi Sachpoitz Zebach Ve'eteina. Because you won't want a sacrifice if I'll give it to you. Oyla Lo Sirtza. You don't want a carbon oyla. That is what David HaMelech says. That's the order of the Pesukim. Hashem Sfas HaTiftach V'Yagiti L'Asecha. Kiloi Sachpoitz Zabach Ve'eteino. Oyla Lo Sirtza. Because you don't want a carbon. Explains the Rabbeinu Yoina. What is David HaMelech saying? David HaMelech is saying that we know that a carbon can only be brought for a shagig. A carbon can only be brought for something that is done unintentionally. For an intentional chait, a carbon is not accepted. The chait with Bathsheba was considered amazed. It was considered intentional. And therefore, David HaMelech was not able to bring a carbon for it. And that's why David HaMelech says, Kilei Sachpoi Zevach Ve'ateinu, you won't accept a carbon from me. Oilo Lo Sirtza. The only Eitza left, says Rabbeinu Yoina, the only thing that is left for somebody who does a chait b'mezid, he can't bring a carbon. Only thing left that he can do is tefillah. Only thing left he can do is daven. And that's why David HaMelech says, Hashem sfosai tiftach, Hashem, open my lips. Allow me to open my lips before you, even though I did a chait b'mezid. Even though I sinned intentionally, allow me to open my lips. Ufi yagiti l'secha. Allow my lips to relate your allow my mouth to relate your praises. Why? Because I have nothing else to give you. Because you won't accept a carbon from me. So I think there's a new appreciation for saying Hashem Sfosai Tiftach V'Yagiti L'Secha before Shemone Esrei. We're approaching the Rebbeinu Shlom saying, Rebbeinu Shlom, we're so unworthy. There's nothing we can give you. And the Rebbeinu Yoni goes on to say, by the way, that so also we, Bizmancha ain't based on Mikdash Kayim. Now that the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, we don't have karbonas. So the only thing we can actually offer is tefillah, even for unintentional sins. So therefore we say, before Shemone Esrei, which Shemone Esrei was, Chazal were misakin Shemone Esrei, b'mokim t'midim. Chazal were misakin Shemone Esrei in the stead of the karbonas. So what we're saying is, Ribbono Shel Olam, I can't give you a karbon. So Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, at least open my lips, Uviyagi to the Sech, allow my mouth to relate your praises. The Yaras Dvash, the Rebbe Yonis and Eibshitz, says that a person is to take a tremendous Musar from the fact that Chazal were misakin to say Hashem Sfosai Tiftach before Shemone Esrei. What we're saying is we're asking reshus from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we're asking for permission from Hashem to speak, to open our lips. Now, what are our lips made for if not to relate Hashem's praises? That's why He gave us lips. And nevertheless, we need to ask Hashem for permission to open them in order to relate His praises. So he says, a person needs to make a kal v'chomer. Throughout the day, when the person is opening up their lips and talking all the shtusim in the world, if I need to ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for permission to open my mouth and I daven before Him, shouldn't I need to ask His permission before I open my mouth any other time of the day? And he says that if a person talks freely all day without thinking before he talks, and then by Shemone Esrei, he says, Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, he says, the malachim go into a fit of laughter. He says it's comical that this person is opening his lips all day, not even bothering to say Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, throughout the day when he's talking all kinds of shtusim, lashon hara, and rechilus, and sheker, and he has a whole list over there of things that people talk. And now, when he was about to begin Shemone Esrei, well, this is what he's supposed to do. Now he says, Hashem Sfosai Tiftach. Arav Nachal when he explains why Chazal were misakin to say Hashem Sfosai Tiftach V'Yagiti L'Secha, he explains with a mashal. There's a lot to have in mind when you say Hashem Sfosai Tiftach. I guess we can change off each day and have in mind one of these pirushim, but the Arav Nachal says that the king, it's fine. A king wanted to have a new crown designed for him. So he had an announcement go out that all umnim, all the professionals that know how to cut diamonds should know how to make a crown, they should all come forward, because the king wants a new crown. So the first woman, the first craftsman comes in, and with a self-confidence says to the king, I have the ability to make for the king the perfect crown. And he begins to work on the crown, and he does an amazing job. The king dismisses the crown. Dismisses the crown. This is not the crown I want. Why not? This person walked in with such self-confidence, totally believing in himself. He had absolutely no fear or trembling before the king. It seems that he had no appreciation for who this crown was being made for. Not the crown I want. The second one comes in, second craftsman. As soon as he enters the chamber of the king, the person starts trembling to the point that he can't even align his hands to make the crown right, because his hands, he does understand who he's making the crown for, but his hands are trembling to the point that he can't make the crown. So obviously, that's not a crown the king wants either. The third craftsman enters, realizes whose presence he is in, and immediately begins trembling. But then the king watches as this person realizes that in order for me to be able to make the crown, I have to stop trembling. It is the covet of the king that I stop trembling in order to make the crown. And the person says, Adoni HaMelech, you know that I tremble in your presence. But for the sake of your own crown, I must overcome this fear in order to be able to make the crown, in order to be able to make the crown perfectly. Says the Arvei Nachal, this is what Hashem Sfos HaTiftach is about. We stand before the Melech Malchei HaMelachim by Shemini Esrei, and we should be trembling to the point that we shouldn't be able to even to state that to we shouldn't even be able to say the words. But we can't daven like that. It's impossible to daven. It's impossible to open our mouths if we're trembling before the king. So we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Tzvos HaTiftach, Ribbono Shel Olam, allow me to open my lips. If I would have in mind your greatness, I won't be able to daven properly. And it's your covenant I should be able to daven. So Hashem Sfos HaTiftach Ufi Yagid Tilasecha. Allow me to put my yira aside, and I should be able to speak your praises. There's a story told about the Heilige Rishonim, that the whole Olam had finished concluded their Shemini Esrei, and they were waiting for the Rishonim to finish Shemini Esrei, so the Baal Tefillah can begin the Chazaras Hashatz, and the Rishonim wasn't finishing. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally, his son, the Chortkever, was there. The Chortkever walked over to his father's Siddur and turned the page. And a few minutes later, the Rishonim finished Shemini Esrei. So they asked the Chortkever, what did he do? He said, I realized that my father was in such a pachad that he couldn't move his hand to turn the page of his Siddur. And he was makpid not to daven outside of his Siddur. So he couldn't finish Shemini Esrei. I turned the page for him, so he was able to finish Shemini Esrei. We can't daven like that. So that's why we say, Hashem Shavos Atiftach V'i Agati Dasecha. Rebbeinu Shleilam, allow me to put the fear aside so I should be able to daven. That's what the Amar Nachal says. It's nice to talk about this, even though we're nowhere close to where we're supposed to be, but at least we have some asoga of what Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to be. I say that the Reb Zisha once asked that he should be zoicha to the yira, to feel the yira of the Rambam. The yira that the Rambam had. Immediately, such a pachad came over him that he was rolling on the floor. He couldn't even stand up. That's the Reb Zisha and the Rambam. We're not even in the ballpark. Hashem Svos HaTivtach begins with the Shem Aleph Dal Nun Yud, not Yud Kei Vav Kei. What is the difference between the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei and the Shem Aleph Dal Nun Yud? So the Avodah Ram explains that Yud Kei Vav Kei is a general name for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So even though we say it the same way, we say Aleph Dal Nun Yud, but we're referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Adon HaKol. He is the master of all. The word Aleph Dal Nun Yud is really Adoni, my master. So the Avodah Ram says, whenever we find that the word Aleph Dal Nun Yud, it's personal. So before a Yid begins Shemoneh Esrei, he should say, that's why we say, Hashem, Aleph Dal Nun Yud, Sfas Tiftach, my master, open my lips. This is not the master, this is my master. Just b'chlal, it's a very important klal to know. Whenever we see the Aleph Dal Nun Yud, it's a person referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam on a personal level. That was all pshat. So to stand it now on a deeper level, the Arizal says that when we left Mitzrayim, our dibur came out of Golus. Our speech came out of Golus. When we were in Mitzrayim, our dibur was in Golus. When we came out, our dibur came out of Golus. And that's why the Yontif is called Pesach, which is made up of two words, Pesach. The mouth speaks. The mouth is able to speak. As long as we were in Mitzrayim, the mouth wasn't able to speak. Now, what does that mean, that the mouth wasn't able to speak? The Zohar HaKadosh says, Shas Tzloisa Shas Krov. The time of davening is a time of battle. Referring to our battle with the Yetzirah. Now, to us, it seems like our entire lives are a time of battle. Right? We battle our Yetzirah constantly. So what is it specifically about Shas Tzloisa, the time of davening? What is the specific battle of the time of davening? Now, we know that we spend the majority of our day in matters of gashmius. We're working, we're eating, we're drinking, we're sleeping, that's what we're spending the majority of our time doing. specifically when it comes to the area of our parnosis, we tend to get carried away. Now, the same applies to all the other gashmias. We get carried away, and we forget what we're doing it for. Right, that we're doing it in order to serve the Rebbeinu Shleilam. That is why we're involved in all these gashmias. It's very human to get carried away in what we're doing. However, the problem with that is that we get carried away to the point that it distracts us even when we're involved in our ruchnias. So when we're davening, and we're supposed to be, this is the time that I'm not working, I'm not sleeping, I'm not eating, I'm davening, or I'm learning, the Yetzer Hara makes it so that since we're so involved in all those other things the majority of the day, so when we're involved in Torah and Tefillah, all the thoughts of all the things we're involved in come into our minds. And it's a battle. It's a battle to get all the distractions out of our mind, to be able to think and to be involved in what we're doing, to be involved in the Torah, to be involved in the Tefillah, and not to allow all the other distractions of our lives to take over. So the Eitzah is, and I actually saw, if I'm not mistaken, I saw in the Ber Maim Chaim, that how does a person know if they are too involved in Gashmias? How does a person know if they're doing too much Ishtadlis? How does a person know if they're working too much and spending too little time learning? Or any other matters of Gashmias? How do we know when it's too much? So the Ber Maim Chaim says, the nisoyan, the test is, to the extent that it distracts a person during his ruchnias, that is how much the person is doing extra. If the person would only be doing what they're supposed to be doing, then it wouldn't distract them during their Torah and Tefillah. I think it's a lot easier said than done. But I believe one simple Eitzah, specifically when it comes to Parnosa, is the area of Emunah. Meaning that if we have, and we need to iterate and reiterate this to ourselves, at least daily, is that I believe Emunah Shalema, that whatever I'm supposed to have, I'm going to have, and that my Ishtadlis brings me absolutely nothing. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shalom will give me, I'm just doing what I'm obligated to do, and all my parnasa comes from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Once the person makes that statement to themselves, so now any type of distraction during my avodah makes absolutely no sense. How can me thinking about my parnasa during my Torah or my tefillah, how can that be helping at all? If everything comes from the Rebbeinu Shalom, and I'm in the middle of serving him, how can it be that distracting myself will in any way help my parnasa? If a person their parnasa has made them so busy to the point that they don't have any time. I don't have any time to learn. If the person truly believes that all their parnasas come from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and they have a set seder to learn, how can they possibly justify that canceling that seder is going to assist them to Torah, is going to assist their parnasa? It all comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and I'm serving him. I believe this is why Chazal say that when a person comes up to heaven after 120, the first two questions that the person is asked is Nasasa and Asata Be'emuna. Were your business dealings done with honesty? And then the second question is Kavata Itam LaTorah. Did you set aside time for learning? So I'd like to suggest that nasasa and nasata be'emunah doesn't mean were your business dealings done with honesty. It means were your business dealings done with emunah. Did you understand when you were doing your business dealings, did you understand that your parnas is coming from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? It's not coming through your handiwork. And the test is the second question. The test is, you said it's not time for learning. If you truly believed that your parnas is coming from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, then you would have set aside time for Torah. It's only someone that doesn't believe, that actually thinks that their Ma'aseh Yadayim is bringing their Parnasa. Those people don't have time for learning. But going back to the battle. Shas, Saloyitz, Shas, Krav, the time of Davin is a time of battle. Zohar HaKadosh says so already. And that is the battle of the constant, the Yetzirah nudging at our minds to get us distracted, to think about all the things that we need to do and that we have done and that we're going to do. And we have to battle. We have to battle to keep keep our minds clear. Now what happens is, when our mind is elsewhere, that, and we're just saying the words, I'm sure this doesn't only happen to me. It happens to everybody else too, right? But our mind is elsewhere, and we're saying the words are not connected to anything. They have no meaning. I'm just saying the words by rote. Dibur, when it's not connected to machshava, when it's not connected to thought, it's in golus. It's an exile. And that's what took place in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim managed to be mishabidas. They worked us so hard that our minds were constantly involved in all the things we need to do and what you have to do and the taivas that Mitzrayim offered. Our minds were preoccupied. And automatically, our dibur was in golus. It wasn't where it was supposed to be. Dibur is supposed to be connected to the machshava. And if the machshav is elsewhere, the dibra is in golus. And that's why the Gemara says that we have to be soimech ge'ula letfilah. That in order to be able to daven, we first have to liberate our dibur. If our dibur is in golus, we cannot daven. If our dibur is still in Mitzrayim, then the davening is not a davening. We have to be simich, redeem, liberate your dibur first, which means get all of your distractions out of your head. Then you liberated your dibur. Now daven. After you liberated your dibur, now you can daven. And this is why we say we begin Shemoneh Esrei with the word Aleph Dalet and Nun Yud. Adoni, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you are my master. None of these other things in the world are my master. Right? My mind might seem to be throughout the day subservient to all these different things. No, when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei, I've liberated my dibur. Now my master is the Rebbeinu, only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore, Sfasai Tiftach. Therefore, open the shackles of my lips. Ufi Yagid Tilasecha. And my mouth will now be able to relate your praises. As long as our dibur is in golus, we can't doubt. And I know that Paul is waiting for Rosh HaTevis. Huh? No. Kiseitze la melcham aleivecha. Pasuk. Beginning of Pasuk is Kiseitze. when you will go out to war against your enemy. Shas loyza shas krova, the Zohar HaKadosh says. Right? The time of davening is the time of battle. When you go out to war against your enemy. Hashem will give your enemy into your hand, and you should recapture that he had captured. What has our Yetzer Hara captured? He's captured our mind. He's captured our speech. And what we need to do when we go out to battle, when we're about to go daven to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we need to recapture that the Yetzer Hara has captured. So how are we going to recapture that the Yetzer Hara has captured? The answer is Eishes Yefas Toyar. Eishes is Rosh HaTevis. Adne Sefosai Tiftoch. Yefas is Pi Yaget Tehilosecha. Toyar is Tfila Arichta. Eishes Yefas Toyar. If we want to be able to recapture our speech, our minds that the Yetzer Hara has captured, the Eitzah is Adnes Sefosai Tiftach, to make sure that we declare the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as our master, and we ask him to open the shackles of our lips, Pi Yaget Hilosecha, and it's all a Tfila Aricht, it's all one long tefillah. So now, as we begin Shemoneh Esrei, we have to just stop after the first word. Aleph Dal Nun Yud. Before we say Sefasai Tiftach, we have to think for a second what we're saying. What we're saying is that Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you are our only master. Nothing else in the world will subjugate me. So nothing will subjugate my mind. Nothing will subjugate my lips. You're my only master. Now, Sfosai Tiftach. The Shemoneh Esrei is a different Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, we can begin the first bracha. Although, I don't know how far I'm going to get here. Let's go further. First, the Posh Pshat, and then we'll. Yeah, 5 minutes. Huh? No, but I begin talking about the depth of the words here. It's too much of an arichus. So let's start first. Talk out. Talk just about the simple meanings of the words. Baruch atah Hashem. So blessed are you, Hashem. Now, the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, the halacha is that the kavanas Hashem is ma'akiv. That one needs to have in mind what every word of the first bracha is. If not, the person is not yotze Shemoneh Esrei. If the person realizes after they finish Shemoneh Esrei that they did not have in mind what they were saying at the first bracha, really, the person should have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei, but the halacha is you don't repeat Shemoneh Esrei because you're probably not going to have in mind the second time either. But what is important is that when a person says the Shem Baruch Atah Hashem, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, one needs to have in mind that Yud Kei Vav Kei means Hoya, Hoyve, Ve'yiyah. That Hashem was, Hashem is and Hashem will always be. Also, the person needs to have in mind the way we read it, which is Aleph Dal Nun Yud, which is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Adon HaKol. So when we say Havaya, Baruch Ato Hashem, we need to bear that in mind. Hoya, Hoya Vavi, Hashem was, Hashem is, Hashem will always be, and that He is Adon HaKol. Now, it might seem easy to have in mind Hoya, Hoya Vavi, He was, He is, and will always be. It's not so poshut. Baal Tanya explained, and this is mamish poshut, but Baal Tanya expresses it. When we say Hoya, that Hashem was, what are we referring to? We're referring to the Atahu Koidem Shenivra Olam. That Ribbono Shel Olam existed before the world was created. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam always, that's Hoya, Hashem always was. Now, how did Hashem exist before the world was created? That's all there was. All there was the Ribbono Shel Olam. All there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we're saying Hoya Hoyve, right? That Hashem was and Hashem is. Okay, so how is Hashem now? So now, are we saying that Hashem exists, but it's different than it used to be? Used to be, Hashem used to be the only one. And now, there's a creation. There's a universe. So, is someone suggesting that there's a difference in the Ribbono Shel Olam? Chas v'sholom, kfira. Atu koinim shenivra olam, atu hum shenivra olam. Ani Hashem, the pasuk says, Ani Hashem lo shonisi. I'm Hashem, I've never changed. There is no difference in the Ribbono Shel Olam between the way it was before the world was created and now that the world is created. The world doesn't take up space in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, when we say Hoya Hoya V'Yia, what we're saying is that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists the same way now as He existed before the world was created. He is Yachid Ba'Olama, He's the only one that exists. Baal Tanya explains, it's a person can say something, right? And then the person can then walk in the space of his speech. Because speech doesn't take up any space. The world was created with asara mamores, right? With seven utterances. It doesn't take up space in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the same as he was then, now as he was then. And that is what a person needs to have in mind when a person says, Yudke Vavke. We don't say Yudke Vavke, but we say the Shed Alv Dal Nun Yud, and we're supposed to have in mind, instead of the Shem Havaya, we're supposed to have in mind that Hashem is, Hashem was, Hashem is, and Hashem will always be, and Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. There is no difference whatsoever in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, Mirat Hashem, we'll continue next week with Elekeinu Elekei Avisa. Huh? Baal Tanya is even bothered. Why we have to say Mashma Yisrael? Why we have to say Hashem Achad? We already said Hashem itself means that.